Downing Street has confirmed that more fines have been sent out by the Metropolitan Police over gatherings at number 10 during, the first lockdown. The Prime Minister has not received a fine for the drinks party held in May 2020. He's previously apologised for attending this event, saying he believed implicitly it was a work event. Story ain't going away. The Prime Minister will face a parliamentary inquiry into whether he did deliberately mislead MPs, in addition to the police investigation, in addition to the Sue Gray report that we're waiting for. But did he lie? Let's speak to the barrister, Stephen Barrett, who is also a Conservative councillor. He's written a piece in The Spectator where he says Boris Johnson did not lie or mislead Parliament. Stephen, good evening.
Hi, hello, good evening.
Good evening. How did you come to this conclusion?
What I do, and when I speak in public, I have a pretty tough line between politics and law. So what I'm doing is making a legal point. And that's because, and I think it's quite important in our society that we go back to treating words like lie and deliberately mislead as legal terms and not just as sort of the confetti of everyday speech. You know, these are technical concepts. They're very important if they actually happen. So that's presumably why they are so often bandied about, and I'm afraid to say nowadays far too often bandied about. The committee is about to investigate whether or not the Prime Minister deliberately misled the House, and that is the chair. I know he stood down, but the chair, I think, at the last inquiry described the process as quasi-judicial. Now, there's a bit of a constitutional issue where sort of law isn't really involved in all of this. Actually, the House sort of governs itself entirely. But if we're going to apply sort of judicial standards or law or legal standards to the test of deliberately mislead, and I think we should, then that's where I don't think anybody can realistically establish that the Prime Minister deliberately misled, or what we might say is common language.
How come?
Because it is a staged test. So he would have had to have made a factual statement which was misleading and which was deliberately misleading or intended to mislead. And that, when he made the statement, so I did another Spectator piece in December last year, and I gave my legal opinion on an issue called Crown immunity. I think that all of the properties that are owned by the Crown are immune from the COVID regulations. And I suggest as law, that's because we've been through quarantines before. And although quarantines are very important, the state has to carry on functioning. You know, it's not likely at the moment, but if the state was in risk of invasion, you wouldn't want the army and the civil service and, you know, running around worrying about whether they were breaching quarantine laws. You would want them protecting the nation. So I think that there's a Crown immunity legal argument, and I wrote on this and I published on it. Lord Sumption spoke in the press about a second legal test, about what is reasonably necessary for work purposes. And actually, it emerges, I've just seen it today for the first time, that Keir Starmer, who's of course also a very good lawyer, he said that his drinks party in Durham was reasonably necessary for work purposes. And I take what we'd call a permissive view of that. So I'm with Keir Starmer there on the law. I think that a lot of these things were reasonably necessary for work purposes. Now, when we say a lot of these things, again, sorry, let's be forensic as lawyers. The Prime Minister's only been fined for one thing. So if we're talking about the Prime Minister, it has to be the cake. And if a cake appearing at a work event is reasonably necessary for work purposes, or if the Crown immunity applies, then the police were wrong to issue these FPNs. So what we have there is legal...
Hold on a moment.
Sorry.
First of all, in paying the fine, the Prime Minister has accepted his guilt.
No, I had this with another interjection in public. I think that is a widely held misconception, but that's not true. And it's quite important that isn't.
He's also apologised.
He's definitely apologised. That doesn't.
And he's definitely paid the fine. So the combination of someone saying I'm sorry for what I've done, and paying a fine for what they've done. He has also accepted the police entitlement to believe that there was reasonable grounds that he had committed an offence. How does that not build up to a picture that he's guilty.
A picture of guilt.
Or is he innocent in any of that?
Innocent. No, I think these are the wrong words. What we need to establish would be that the Prime Minister was lying.
Why did he pay the fine?
I suspect the answer to that question is a political answer that I can't go into. It's certainly nothing that there's no law in that question, I'm afraid.
Sorry, Stephen, just so I can understand this. So on what legal basis have the police been able to accept the mummy?
The police have issued fixed penalty notices because they believe they have a power to do so, and nobody has challenged them. Now, it's fair to point out, and I think it's important to note, that there are three police forces who have considered this question of historic fines involving politicians, and two of the police forces are with me and Keir Starmer in the permissive camp, saying that no, they won't do it. And the one who's gone out on a limb is the Metropolitan Police. Now, again, it's really important that we stick with this idea of a lie. To deliberately lie to the House, to deliberately mislead...
I'll go on to the lie in one second.
Well, but it's, yes, the alleged if, lie, if we someone, probably ought to say.
Sure, absolutely. The conversation about an alleged lie, absolutely. But the actual act of someone being contacted by the police... being offered an opportunity to fight something in court or to pay a penalty, the actual handing over of money, a fine, are you telling me there is no admission in guilt in paying
not
a fine?
Not that law, no. Now, you can draw whatever political conclusions you want from that, but what I'm saying is no.
So if the answer to that is no...
I think I'm not criticising you at all because I have come across this confusion before. And
no, but I'm trying to help... You're also a Conservative councillor. We need to remind ourselves you're also a Conservative councillor tonight. So I'm trying to understand...
No, I'm not tonight. I've definitely taken that hat off tonight. So I'm appearing as a lawyer.
Fair enough. You've taken that hat off. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But why is the state entitled to take money off Boris Johnson if it is not to fine him for something he's done wrong? Why are they entitled to accept the money?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And if we're going to treat that question as law, then, you know, let's treat that on a basis.
Let's treat it as law.
Why is the state entitled to punish people via fixed penalty notices? Well, it's come in relatively recently from the point of view of the law as a system. An awful lot of people have just sort of paid them rather than make a fuss. And they seem to be now quite widely spread. I think they use across the range for sort of low-level events. And the short answer for why is a very big constitutional truth. Why is because Parliament can do anything that it wants to do. And why?
No, but this isn't Parliament doing it. No, hold on. No, this is not Parliament doing it. No.
No, it is. No,
this
I'm,
is the
no,
police
I'm
doing it.
You. Yes, but Parliament
no,
can
well,
power
well,
the
you are.
Do it.
My question is, why is the police, why is the Metropolitan Police, why is it lawful for them to accept payment from any individual, indeed the Prime Minister, if you're saying there is no burden put onto that force where it's got to be something that someone's done wrong? What's the money for then?
These are interesting and bigger questions.
Asking them of you as a barrister. That's why I'm trying to get you to tell me, explain to me what the legal basis is for the Metropolitan Police being able to collect that money.
The short answer is that Parliament has given the police power to collect money by way of fixed penalty notices. Now, there are tests that they have to apply, and nobody's suggesting that the Metropolitan Police itself is lying. Nobody's suggesting that they're deliberately issuing fines they don't think are rightly given. Of course, that would also be absurd. And you see, I think maybe that might help to illuminate this, that just because people disagree over law it doesn't make the other side a liar. And in our society, that really came to a head with the Miller 2 court case during Brexit. I don't know if you remember that, but it became quite popular to sort of call the government and members of the government, I think even the Prime Minister, a liar, because a legal argument had been advanced, which the Supreme Court rejected. Now, it's very important to remember that the Lord Chief Justice of England and Wales had gone the other way. He had said that legal argument, the one that the Prime Minister wanted, was actually acceptable. And again, there, we saw this immediately, people wrongly jumped to saying, because you advanced a legal argument and it wasn't successful, you are a liar, and you have deliberately misled the House. And that isn't right. We need to return to having a forensic approach to the word lie, to the question of what is deliberately misleading. And as I set out in my article, I mean, I don't understand...
Okay.
How this committee is possibly going to conclude that he deliberately misled. Now, because I don't do the politics, none of that affects how you as a person see any of this. You know, you're totally open to how you feel and your emotional response to it, your political response to it, how you vote. They're still entirely for you.
Okay.
But the point I'm making is that it is important that we treat words like lie and deliberately mislead as a legal process. This committee is going to have to, I mean, to an extent. I mean, it's going to test the Constitution, how far this committee goes, because I think we have things like in this country like the concept of a right to a fair trial. It's looking like a sort of quasi... Sorry, I'm waffling. I do that.
No, you're not. I find you really interesting. Honestly, I have. It's just I'm going to get fined for any later for the news tonight, so I will leave it there. Thank you very much, Barrister Stephen Barrett. Really good to talk to you. He's written a piece in The Spectator where he says Boris Johnson did not lie or mislead Parliament. Here comes the news now at 10:38.